come with a shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings
good morning. God bless you. For those of you that are online with us today, just want to remind you, you can go to Tithely from the church website and you can give to support your local ministry here at Gales Creek that way, as well as here together in person during our offering time. I want to give a little offering to you though, real quick. It's going to seem kind of weird, but when I was in Bible school here, back in the day, we sang Happy Birthday a little different. So I want to make sure y'all know the church version, okay? Because we half sung it, half didn't. But here you go. Happy birthday to you, and to Jesus be true. May the Lord bless and keep you. Happy birthday to you. The Lord blesses and keeps us, does he not? So let us give back from those blessings he has given. Lord, thank you for the finances to run our lives and the people that we share those finances with and use them to bless. Let us always be good stewards. Help us be good stewards. Using the money in a way that influences others to know you and be blessed from you. Amen. So normally I get on the live feed and I ask people if they have prayer requests so they can share them and we can, you know, share them together. And I forgot to do that this morning because I was so excited for the hymn sing. Please forgive me, those of you that are online. But if you're online and you have a prayer request, go ahead and put it in the chat and I'll see it here and we can pray for you. Anyway, yeah, got all excited about singing. So that's one of my praises. The next praise I have to share with you guys, my father-in-law, Lou, he has stabilized a little bit. And Sarah and I have started to find a new family balance with caring for him again. So please continue to pray for us. He's recovering slowly from this last go round, and the doctors are trying to figure out the new balance of his medications for congestive heart failure, but to not do so much that we cause kidney failure. So, yeah. So prayer for wisdom there, and prayer for us to, you know, have a little extra in our tank to give. And so thank you for your continued prayers for my father-in-law, Lou. All right. Anybody else have something to prayer or praise to share? Let's try to keep them short, because otherwise we'll get too long. We can't post this on Facebook. Just a warning. I mean, last week was great. We all shared, but we got to try to keep it succinct so we can make sure we can post. Fred. Yeah. Yeah. So prayer for Joe and Ashley. They were here a couple weeks ago for a couple weeks, and I know they were getting a new house. Yeah, I know they were getting a new house, and I don't know if they're in transition, but prayer for Joe and Ashley and their children, Aubrey and Jacob. Just remember, two J's and two A's. The boys are J's and the girls are A's. Yeah! Ellen's here! Right on. So Josh is praising God for the opportunity to join Planet Fitness and start to make a change in his physical health. Absolutely. Yeah. So Donna's praising God for a good trip to Illinois to visit family back there, cousin Jeff and all of his kin. So thank God for safe travels and a good visit. And Bill brought home a cold. He didn't want to share, so he's not here. Claire. He's not the son of two teachers. Yeah. So Sarah sharing two things. One, that Claire had a great dance competition this weekend, even though the power went out and they had to adjust and go to the stadium. And the second thing is our son Landon, who is writing a letter to the superintendent asking for more teachers in his classroom. You know, sometimes people who are disabled are really just differently abled. So, wow. Anybody else have praise or a prayer request to share? Right. So Linda is lifting up her mom and roommate in the rehab center and praying that COVID has not returned, even though her roommate is getting some respiratory symptoms. Anybody else? Yes. Go ahead, Vicky. So you're lifting up your husband, Jim. And we're going to pray for Jim with an upcoming knee surgery day. On a waiting list. So prayer for the right doctor, the right situation, the right time, and the right corrections, and God's wisdom to guide it all. Yes, absolutely. Anybody else? Oh, I didn't say the last name. That was Jim Nichols, everybody. Or no, wait. No, Nichols is the other Jim. Evans. Yeah, Jim and Sandy Evans, not Jim. Yeah, and I called you Vicky. Jim and Vicky, and then there's... Oh, I got the two confused. Forgive me, everyone. Yeah, it's okay. I'm in the hot seat up here. You grow up in the church, you should remember everybody in it. But sometimes after 50, you have some senior moments, I guess. Anyway. Yes. Vicky's not here, and I know she's still having a lot of congestion and inability to hear. Hopefully she's online. Vicky, we love you. We're glad you're... We miss you. Exactly. Just like we miss Joe and Ashley and Jacob and Aubrey. Everybody who can't be here. Sarah. Yeah. Woke up not feeling quite right, so we let him stay home and sleep. Or maybe take care of Grandpa. We'll see what happens if he wakes up. Praise God for a responsible 15-year-old who's willing to help out with his grandfather. Teresa. Yep. I remember seeing that in the prayer chat. Haley was asking for prayer for travels. I think she's going to Vegas, if I remember right. And so prayer for Haley Galladay Heinz. Right on. So same traveling mercies for Brad and Andy Hesselgesser going down to Vegas. Anybody else? I just thank God we all get to be here together today. Tony. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for a little glimpse of blue sky. Yeah, absolutely. Let your sun shine down on us. And the sun shine down on us. All right, let's go together as a family. Lord, thank you so much for being God Almighty, the one who spoke the universe into existence, the author of the original Big Bang that gave all the energy to this creation in which you placed us and made it for us. So we would have a place to love you back from. Thank you, Lord, for your unending grace you give to all. Thank you for the specific grace you give each of us. Thank you for sending your Son, for coming and living in our skin to know what this life is like so we can place our trust in you, a God who knows us. Not just lords over us, but resides with us. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you have given to us in our lives, for all the good things, jobs, retirement income, retirement duties, safe travel, reliable cars, so many things that we just need every day and we take for granted because you just give us good things. Forgive us, Lord, when we take them for granted. Forgive us when we miss an appointment. Forgive us when we get frustrated unneedingly with others. Forgive us when we are impatient. Forgive us when we don't show love. And forgive us most when we unwarrantedly judge others. Give us the wisdom to know, set healthy boundaries, but give your love. Father, there are many in our body today that need prayer for upcoming surgeries. Lord, we lift up Jim and the knee surgery to come. Lord, we lift up Claire and her surgery to come in spring break for her tonsils. Lord, we lift up Wink, who continues to get work with his eyes done, and Helen too. Lord, we ask that you fully restore their sight, even though we know in their hearts they already see you. Lord, we lift up traveling mercies over a couple Hesselgesser boys, Lord, and over Haley as they come and go. Put your angels a step before all of them and make straight their paths. Lord, we lift up Linda's mom and her roommate. We ask, Lord, that you bring swift recovery and healing to the roommate, Lord, that this is just a little blip. Lord, we understand that COVID is just part of this fallen world made by fallen people. Thank you that you will one day come and restore everything back to the way it's supposed to be. That you will refresh this earth and come anew. So, Lord, we say, come, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come live in our hearts, live through our mouths, live through our hands, live through our feet. Come. Lord, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to knock on the doors of everyone's heart. Wake us up every day with a new, fresh entry of your love for us. But even more so, get to the hearts of the leaders of this land. Knock on the doors of their hearts. Transform them with your love. Let all the blowhards be humble and restore sanity to our government that all may benefit from your great wisdom. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. We got any kiddos? I think we got a couple. Let's see what kind of song we got today. Let's see what we got for kids worship. Do you guys know this one?
Hey, Dad.
Let's see. You know this
hey,
one.
Dad.
Yes.
Isn't it weird how all of them we have
one? Yes. You ready? Got to get your light ready, though. Can you get your light ready? Get your candle ready? You ready?
Uh-huh.
Or your fish. Your fish candle will work. Okay, you ready? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
No!
I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
No!
I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan
blow
it out. I'm gonna let it shine.
Won't let Satan blow it out.
I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine. Shine it around my neighborhood. Make it go around.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Shine it around my neighborhood. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Father, Lord, we just ask that you let our lights shine before these little ones. At the moments when we're burning the candle on both ends and ready to burn out, give us the light through our hearts, through you, to continue to shine before them and always be able to light their pathway to you. Amen. All right, let's go sit down, guys.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Lord bless you. Thank you for the birthday wishes. I'll be 25. And I'm so happy that Jeremy is my older brother. I'm wishful. I like that. I like that too. Someone said, we all have our own story. Yes, there we go. I'm telling my years in biblical age. As we approach Easter, I want us to linger a little bit in the book of Mark. The new year not only brings a fresh start, because remember we did our Fresh Start series for the month of January to celebrate the new year, but also remember that January, that first week, brings us Epiphany. And what is Epiphany? Epiphany is the revelation of the Messiah to the non-Jews. And so when you look at the story of Jesus' birth, as he becomes a toddler, he has visitors who are not Jewish, and yet they recognize him as the Messiah. So that's why we call it Epiphany. It is the revealing of the Messiah. So I want to focus about how Jesus is revealed. Because when Jesus is on the scene, he's actually being revealed to Jewish people, those who are already waiting for the Messiah, as well as being revealed to those who do not know who Yahweh is, because he is not their covenant God. So let's spend a little bit of time there as before we get into our Lenten season that prepares us for the reason Jesus came as a babe. Jesus is revealed to the people that he meets. And when the Spirit moves, people know who Jesus is, and they either believe, right, and receive his salvation, or they just keep living their lives as they were. This revelation is referred to as the Epiphany. And we're going to see in Mark that it's not just the Gentiles that Jesus' identity is revealed, but to the house of God. Remember, they're expecting the Messiah to be a certain way. And he's coming along and saying, yes, that part is true, but that part is not for today, right here, right now. So follow along as I read from the Message translation from the book of Mark, chapter 1. We're going to focus on verses 29 through 39. Directly on leaving the meeting place, they came to Simon and Andrew's house, accompanied by James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed, burning up with fever. They told Jesus, He went to her, took her hand, and raised her up. No sooner had the fever left than she was up, fixing dinner for them. And that evening, after the sun was down, they brought sick and evil, afflicted people to him. The whole city lined up at his door. He cured their sick bodies and tormented spirits. Because the demons knew his true identity, he didn't let them say a word. While it was still night, way before dawn, he got up, went out to a secluded spot, and prayed. Simon and those with him went looking for him. They found him and said, "Everybody is looking for you." And Jesus said, "Let's go to the rest of the villages so I can preach there also. This is why I've come." He went to their meeting places all through Galilee, preaching and throwing out the demons. I like how they say that, throwing out the demons. This account picks up after Jesus and his first disciples leave the synagogue after teaching there. So if you go back up to the top of the chapter, you'll see what transpired. Jesus amazes the people with the authority by which he spoke, and he even healed a man who was tormented by demons. Now, the people were really amazed then, and then news of Jesus started to spread throughout Galilee. Jesus is essentially, person by person, group or individuals, slowly revealing who he is. He reveals himself to both the groups of people and to individuals. The man with the evil spirit made his way to the synagogue, and it's a good thing that he did. It's a good thing that he chose to come to the synagogue that day, because when he did, he got to meet the man who would set him free. No more demons in his life. Now, incidentally, we see in the text a throwback to our previous conversation, because remember, we talked about the possible reasons that Jesus would tell people not to say anything. You remember, like, there's a variety of times and you're like, why would Jesus do that? I mean, he just performed a wonderful miracle. And yet he's telling people, shh, don't tell anybody. Just go on about your business. And it's really hard if you've been blind all your life and now you can see. You don't want me to tell people? Oh, I'm telling everybody. First of all, they're going to notice because I'm not walking with my stick anymore and I'm doing my thing. They're going to be like, wait, isn't that, how is it possible that now they can see? Weren't we carrying him around all the time? Now all of a sudden he could walk? Like, what's happening? People are going to want to tell that story of how Jesus healed them. Do you remember the reason why Jesus was telling them? Yes, it wasn't his time yet. We concluded it was because telling others might give other people the wrong impression of Jesus' mission. Because remember, in the minds of the Jews back then, the Messiah who was going to come, he was going to right all the wrongs. He was going to get rid of their enemies. He was going to avenge them. So that's the Messiah they're waiting for. They're not looking for some Messiah who's going to come and be their friend and heal folks and die on a cross. What kind of a Messiah is that? You're not supposed to be dying. So he says, shh, don't go around telling people. His mission for right then and right there was to preach and teach, show people how to live for God, and that he was eventually going to die on that cross. He wasn't going to stay dead, however. He was going to be resurrected. That was his mission, not to come and avenge, not to right all of the wrongs, but to actually end up on a cross to die for our sins. So in this account, we notice Jesus commands even the demons to be quiet because they too know who he is. And when you read the New Living Translation, it says verses 23 through 25, listen, suddenly a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are." Listen to what the devil says. "The Holy One of God." But Jesus reprimanded him. "Be quiet. Come out of that man," he ordered. And then again, when you get down to verse 34, so Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases. Because remember, now the word is spreading, and let's take our sick to this man who can heal them. And that includes people who have evil spirits in them. So they go and they line up at Simon's house, knocking on the door, waiting for Jesus to come out and heal. Verse 34 says, so Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Because he says, my time is not yet. There'll be a day for that, but not right now. I need to teach them who God is and how to be in right relationship with God. And then we'll get to that part later on about conquering and setting things straight. Even the demons know who Jesus is. So he silences them so that the people around who are watching and really beginning to believe in God again, they won't see that and get their minds on the Savior who's supposed to come and rid them of their enemies. Jesus doesn't want people to get ahead of God's schedule. And it's important to recognize that God is revealing Jesus to regular everyday people. This is why it's crucial to understand Mark's account of Jesus' life. Because Mark says, look at what he did. He's going to these regular everyday people to reveal himself as the Messiah. Jesus actually didn't go to the priest. He didn't go to the scribes. He didn't worry about proving him who he was to the Pharisees. He didn't go to Herod or any other magistrate at that time, right? He doesn't even waste his time. Excuse me, I'm the real king, by the way. He doesn't do that. He goes to regular, everyday people. He went where the common folk were so he could be in relationship with them and show them the way of salvation. So after shocking the congregants by casting out a demon in the middle of church service, he goes to rest at Peter and Andrew's home, where he then heals the mother-in-law. And then after dinner, he ends up healing even more people, revealing that he is God's Messiah. Finally realized. Because you remember, the Jews had been waiting for Messiah for thousands of years. And no doubt, some were probably thinking in their minds, yeah, I'll go to the synagogue on Sabbath, but I don't really believe in Yahweh anymore, because I mean, where's the Messiah? We've been waiting forever and ever and ever. When you're looking through scripture, that's what the scripture is trying to prove. Well, so like sometimes when you read Matthew and you read other texts and you're like, why are they naming all of these people's names? You go back to the Old Testament and you're like, so what's the point of these genealogies? Why are we doing? Like, nobody cares about all these people. It's because they as a people believe in the promise from God that one day the Messiah is going to come. And so they look through all of the genealogies. They look through the family. Well, is he in this family? Is he in that family? No, he didn't come there. Well, where is he coming? When? How can we tell when the Messiah will be here? So after you've been reading that for a long time and you've grown up in the church and you hear the old people talk about how good God is, yeah, yeah, but he's not showing up in your life. They're under Roman rule right now. Where's our Messiah to come and get these people off our backs? So some are probably a little shaky in their faith, because what has God done for them lately? Which means we could be like that too, right? We've been waiting a long time now for Jesus to come back. And some of us are growing weary, because it's like, really? You read, watch the news, read the news. This is some wild times. And you might be thinking, I wonder if Jesus really is real. I mean, is he really going to let this get any worse than what it is? This is crazy town. How are we ever going to recover from this? You may have those questions in your mind. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to reveal and to say, yes, I still exist. I am real. I'm not a myth. I'm not a story that your grandparents and great-great-grandparents told all of their families. I am real. Believe in me. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so he builds relationships with people to reveal who God is. And what we'll discover, what we've discovered thus far from reading this portion of Mark, is that Jesus is revealed through his authority to teach the word of God and his compassion to heal the sick and the suffering. He meets people right where they are. So another way to look at how God uses Jesus to reach us is that he appeals to the mind. How does God appeal to our mind? By teaching the word of God, by listening and hearing the word of God, by being intrigued and listening and reasoning. If this is so, if God says he's real, then how does he show up in our lives? Having those types of conversations with one another and just thinking about it to yourself, even if you're not expressing it to someone else. So this is why people are challenged when Jesus comes to their synagogue and he teaches from the word of God. Their minds are blown, because it's like, wow, I've never thought of that scripture that way before. He brought the scripture to life for them. God appeals to us through our minds. Jesus traveled from place to place teaching about God. And then he reminds believers of God's word and teaches them a new way of understanding God himself. Because remember, God's word is not just words on some paper or parchment. It's to teach us who God is. It's to teach us who we are and how we can be in a relationship with God. So Jesus brings to life that scripture in a different way. And he appeals to the mind. And this is why people remark on how different Jesus is and how the word of God has authority like they've never experienced before. So God appeals to people's minds. Another way of thinking about it is that God also appeals to people's hearts. But when you look at this text in Mark, he appeals to their minds because he's preaching and teaching, and he's giving them something to think about. But then God wants our hearts. So how does he do that? Understand this, that sometimes people will argue, and you've probably heard this argument before, that God uses illness as a punishment for our sins. But that's really not accurate. That's not an accurate teaching about what God's word teaches us. You see, sickness and death are a result of the fallen world, our collective sin nature, right? So it's not that we as individuals get sick or die because God is actually punishing us for our individual sin. So because it doesn't matter how good you are or how wealthy you are or whatever thing you want to put there, we're all going to die and everybody gets sick, right? We're all going to. But it's not God's intent for us to be sick. In fact, he promises us that illness and death will be banned from eternal life with him. Remember what scripture teaches us? When you are with God after this world is over, there's not going to be any illness or death. I'll show it to you. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. This is a good scripture. One of my favorites, actually, all-time favorites. It's Revelation 21. This is John the Revealer. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more." What does the scripture say? Death or sorrow or crying or pain. Why is that? All these things are gone forever. So it is not God's intention for us to be sick and suffering. Yet, because of our fallen state, the way the world is, we are. But that's not his intention for us to remain like that. And that's why he says, if you believe in my Messiah, in the world to come, you will not have to be subject to sickness and pain and sorrow and death. God's intention for us is to be well, not sick and suffering. And yet, he will use our illness. He will use our suffering. He can even use death to reveal himself to us and to others. This is why Jesus takes time to heal people. Because you have to think, if you start thinking about this, like, yeah, why is it that we get sick? Why is it that we die? Oh, yes, because he said, because of our sin, the world is now fallen, it's not perfect. Okay, but then why does he bother to even heal people? Because God doesn't heal everybody. Jesus didn't heal everybody that was sick. What is that about? Well, Jesus takes time to heal people. He can't even resist showing people who God is. And how does he show? One of the ways that he can show people who God is to heal them physically. Because then they realize, oh yes, the God I've been reading about in scripture is real. He has said throughout his scripture what he wants to do, what his intention is, how he wants to heal me, how he wants to be in relationship with me. Ah, this is why sometimes Jesus uses healing to reveal that he is the Messiah. He is showing people that God is good and that God loves us and he cares for us. Just imagine yourself as a parent. We got a lot of parents in the room. Your children are probably adults. Some of you have younger ones. But when your children were sick, didn't your heart break for them? You're like, oh, you wanted to do all the things to make them better. God is our Father. He wants to do all the things to make us better. This is why he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. Scripture often describes Jesus as being moved with compassion and having compassion on them. You know, you can go through the Gospels and you'll see that phrase. Why is Jesus moved to compassion? Because he is replicating who God is. God loves us. God wants us to be with him forever. Go back to Revelation 21. He wants to live among us, be with us. He wants us to know who he is. This is why Jesus heals, because he has compassion. It's the divine working through him. And Jesus heals the physical illnesses to show that God not only cares about their soul, but also about their here and now, which is why he wanted to like stifle the here and the now, because, oh good, he's going to get rid of all of our enemies right here, right now. He's like, that's coming, but not right here, right now. Right now, I'm concerned about your soul. I need you to know who God is and be in a relationship with him. So Jesus feels he heals those physical illnesses in order to demonstrate that God cares about their soul as well as their here and now. And so when Jesus sees Simon Peter's mother-in-law, of course she's going to be like, oh, Granny, we want you to be well. I can just imagine him going, no, she's sick. He enters her room. He sits down on her bed, takes her hand, and is like, Granny, feel better. I want you to feel better. And so she recovers. And it didn't take a few days or a few weeks to get out of her sick bed. She instantly recovers. So much so that she's able to actually get up and be back to her normal self. And right, and she fixes dinner for her guests and for her family that's there. The physicians of the day couldn't heal her that quickly. So the onlookers could only believe that Jesus was who he said he was. The logical conclusion was to see that God's anointing was on Jesus. That's how he was empowered to heal them, because God loved them and was using Jesus to heal them. God appealed to their hearts. He appealed to their minds through speaking the word. He appealed to their hearts by meeting their needs. And so the account doesn't end with all the people getting healed. Interestingly enough, Mark chose to point out that Jesus does two things the next day. That actually becomes the norm of how he operates throughout the rest of his ministry. What are those things? Well, when you read in the scripture, it says he seeks solitude to pray. Remember, he goes away and he prays because he needs that anointing from God to be able to do what he's supposed to do, right? And then he returns to do more ministry, which is the pattern that God is teaching us. This is why we have Sabbath. Rest, be with God, hear God's voice so that we can hear him clearly, and then go back out into the world to share what God has given us. This is a gas station. We come here, we get our windshields washed, we get gas in the tank, and we go back out on the road. Why? Not to build our kingdom, to build God's kingdom. So Jesus shows us, again, who we are supposed to be. That's what he does. All in those little few verses from Mark, this is what we learn, that he is revealing himself to the sick and to those who are suffering, because everybody counts to God. Every last one of us. So Jesus gets up super early before dawn, the text says, to pray alone, and then he returns to the group. He says it's time to move on to the next place. Why? Because that's his mission. That's his purpose. I can't just be here with you all. I got to go tell the next town and the next town and the town after that, that God still sees them, God still cares, and God still loves them. And he has a plan for their salvation, not only for their physical lives right here, right now, but for the life that is to come after this world is over. So Jesus is on a mission to save that which is lost by appealing to their hearts and to their minds. So Jesus is revealed to the sick and the suffering in Mark's account here. And we must be reminded that Jesus has not changed. God has not changed. Just as Jesus revealed himself to regular everyday people, including the ones that we sometimes forget about, those who are deemed less important than we are, those who are sick and shut in, those who might be suffering, Jesus wants to do the same thing today. He appeals to our hearts and to our minds by building relationship with us and teaching us through his holy word. So the challenge for us is to not refuse his offer. Allow him to continue to grow you up in Christ by reading his word, studying his word, get a better and better understanding. when he's pulling and tugging at your heart, listen, pause, stop. What is Jesus trying to tell me right now? Because we're so used to, I've been a Christian all these years, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and Jesus still wants to use you. So it doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, all the things, Jesus wants to use you as a light and as salt. So let's not refuse his offer as he continues to pull on our minds and to pull on our hearts. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your holy word. We ask that you reveal to us more and more yourself. Help us to fall in love again in a new way with your holy word so that we can grow in you, learn more and more about you. It's so easy to fall on the scriptures that we've memorized from when we were children and long, long time ago, but you're asking us to do more. Look at that word again and see what new lesson there might be to learn. Help us to respond to your Holy Spirit as you tug on our hearts to do new things, different things, challenging things, and it might even be scary things. But we know, God, you are with us. You are with us. We don't do anything alone. You're right here with us. So we pray now, empower us to trust you for salvation for today, in this present life, and for salvation in the world to come. We ask these things because we know it's your will. It will bring you glory, and we need your power to make it so. And so that we say, amen. All right, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, it's that time where we get to close with a hymn. I believe, do we not have, no, we don't. So we're going to close with a hymn. Oh, I see it's a hymn that's blank because this is hymn sing Sunday. Oh, so what song are we going to sing? What a friend we have in Jesus. That's a good song. I can look it up. It's 3:48. What a friend we have in here.
3:46.
Oh. 3:46. Sorry.
Sorry, my Google's not working.
We're just going to sing the first verse.
Yeah, if you've got it memorized, though, just sing.
All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain.
That's one of my favorite hymns. What a friend we have in Jesus. So I want to encourage you to carry that song with you this week. To remember, we have a friend in Jesus. He's pulling at our minds, right? To teach us more through his word. He's pulling at our hearts to teach us more, to be like him, to want to be like him, to want to be more loving and more kind, more forgiving. Right, and empowered to be a witness for him. So remember those words. What a friend we have in Jesus. And because of Jesus, we are part of the family of God. So you have your brothers, you have your sisters, you have your siblings in Christ who also love you and care about you. We carry your burdens just as Jesus does. So don't forget to share your burdens with us so we have the opportunity to support you and love you. So as we go from this place, remember that God is with you. His Spirit empowers you to live and be like him, to be more and more like God. Go in his grace, go in his peace, and until we meet again, God be with you. Have a wonderful week and join us for potluck.